Liverpool will clear with Diaz. And it's Virgil van Dijk. Great ball over the top by van Dijk. Salah is out and taken out by Bailey. Nunes is in. He's gone round the keeper and scores. Darwin Nunes from a tight angle. Liverpool get the lead. What a finish by Nunes. Szoboszlai goes again for Liverpool. Plays it out at the back. And Salah has beaten Diego Carlos. It's Mo Salah running clean through on goal. Salah, left foot, takes his time, scores! 2-0! What a break! What a goal by Mo Salah!
That was our commentator Steve Hunter describing strikes by Darwin Nunes and Mo Salah that secured another Liverpool victory. Their 15th of the season out of 17 games in all competitions. That 2-0 success over Aston Villa extends their lead at the top of the Premier League to 5 points after Manchester City were beaten at Brighton. I'm Mark Benstead, and coming up on this episode of The Reaction, we'll hear from Arne Slot, Ibu Kanati and Alexis McAllister. First, though, to analysis from former Reds David Thompson and Neil Mellor, who joined me pitchside for LFC TV's post-match show. What a night, what a result. What could it mean for the season ahead? Only time will tell, but it feels like a significant opportunity taken by the Reds. Yeah, plenty to unpack from tonight, Neil. I guess the biggest thing is just how important the result it might be, given what had happened earlier in the day and given who we were playing.
And given the week we've had. You know, it was a proper game last weekend against Brighton. We came back and won the game fantastically well. Champions League against Bayer Leverkusen, a massive win. And then you've got to maintain those levels. I thought the crowd played the part today, really got behind the team. We got the opening goal. And you're thinking, if we can get a second, I'm not sure there's any way back for Aston Villa. But we didn't get that second. Villa stayed in the game, and you're starting thinking, with the amount of set pieces they had, might they nick one and maybe get a point? And you're thinking, it will feel disappointing. But we have that man, Mo Salah, who just finishes Aston Villa off. And today turned out to be another brilliant day. Last Saturday was a brilliant day. Arsenal got turned over. City got turned over. We won. City been beaten, and we've won. All we can do is keep winning games. And there's a great buzz around this place at the moment. There's another international breaker now, but the fans have left on a real high, singing Liverpool, Liverpool, top of the league. Fantastic.
We know from recent seasons that there aren't many opportunities where City slip up and you have to capitalise. And so often in the past, we've seen them find wins, get results, keep churning out the points. So it did feel significant. We spoke pre-match about the ripple of excitement when we heard those Brighton goals go in. First 5 minutes, when we were sitting watching the game, Tomo, and the crowd were involved. They were claiming for everything. Every 50-50, they're up on their feet. You noticed the extra edge, didn't you?
Yeah, I think it was obviously, you know, it was a good Saturday evening game. The crowd were buzzing straight from the off. And, yeah, you could really feel it. I think it was quite a nervy first half, actually. I don't think we tested their goalkeeper for the first 20 minutes, where they had a couple of opportunities as well. I think Ramsey, was it Ramsey? Yes, it was Ramsey. Cut inside, and the goal just sort of opened up for him. Thought that was a great opportunity. Good save from Kelleher as well from the corner. Concert had a good chance in the first half at the back post. So, yeah, it was fortunate when we did get the goal, and then we sort of maintained the professional performance after that.
Yeah, we could control big parts of the first half, but never quite tested them enough. But we did get the goal. We did get the crucial goal to break the deadlock. And it was the man we spoke about so much in the build-up today, Darwin Nunes, taking his opportunity and taking it so well, because that was not an easy finish from the angle he ultimately had to take it from.
No, made up. And the goal actually comes from Aston Villa's corner. Mm-hmm. You know, we defend our box. I think it's big Virgil who plays the ball out to Salah. Salah's been absolutely brought down, but I'm not sure who the recovering defender is for Villa. I'm thinking, that's a red card, but the ball falls nicely to Nunes. And then it's 1v1, and you're thinking, will he take it? But he had the confidence to take it round the goalkeeper. Mm. And I thought the goalkeeper did really well. He didn't commit himself.
No, he didn't.
He sort of stayed up and made himself big. And that was a tough finish in the end for Nunes, but he finished it really well. And he needed that. You could sense the relief inside.
Yeah. From all of us.
From all of us. But also it was like, get in there for him. Everyone was made up for him. But that came from Villa's corner, and it showed the threat that Liverpool have on counter-attacks. In fact, the two big chances we had first half, we scored, was from Villa's corner. Mm. And the one Nunes had shortly after came from Villa's corner.
Yeah, he will probably in some quarters, or perhaps I'll rephrase that, if we hadn't got the result tonight in some quarters, he probably would have been criticised for not taking that second opportunity. But it wasn't as easy as perhaps some will think it was, although maybe we spoke about it, Tomo. It's just a case of slowing himself down, calming himself down, just to take a little bit off the shocks. He put too much on him, puts it off target.
I think, it's difficult for me to comment because I was never really a quick player and I was never really someone who was tactically striking. When I saw the whites of the goal, I was just head down and just put my foot through it. I'd always make sure I hit the target. We talked about this before with Mels. When you're running at such speed and such velocity that Darwin Núñez gets up to, I think he just needs to concentrate on hitting the target more than, you know, trying to score the goal. Just hit the target, because if you're not hitting the target, you're never going to score a goal. So I think if you then contrast that to Mohamed Salah in the second half, the way he composes himself. He runs through at top speed, then composes himself, picks his spot, and it's in the back of the net. You know, I think if he's training with the likes of Mohamed Salah, he's got to start picking up these little tips and these little pointers and take them on board, because there is times in the season when them missed chances will cost you. I think he's just got to start hitting the target more. You know, forget about scoring goals, just hit the target.
I think it's a natural thing. You've either got that calmness in the final third or you don't. I don't think Darwin does, but he gets himself into those positions.
Can you not learn it? Can you not?
I don't,
through repetition and through observation?
I think it's an emotional thing, because he gets so emotional and so uptight at times.
So he gets more chances by
it. It means
that
a lot to him, doesn't
he? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that calmness
as well,
made a difference.
You don't want to take those elements out of his game, because that's what makes him.
Yes.
And that work rate, endeavour, effort, desire, lost causes he chases down, you don't want to take all that out.
Yeah.
So it becomes a balancing act regardless of how you approach it.
What I will say is there's components of Darwin's game that are coming on leaps and bounds. The way he's getting hold of the ball, the way he's bringing other people into play, his work rate, you know, is closing down. I think the only aspect that he really is letting him down at the moment is that little composure in front of goal. The manager spoke about it. He just needs to relax a little bit. And I think it will come. I think there is improvements. I mean, you can see, obviously, the other aspects in his game are improving, so he's learning. So I think it'll come.
He scored an important goal, and that's what's important. He might be disappointed he's gone off a little bit earlier on. What was it, just after the hour mark? He scored a really important goal for Liverpool today. How many times last season did we say, opposition have scored the first goal? Makes it harder for us to score the first goal. We made it harder for Aston Villa. And OK, they had moments themselves where maybe they could have got themselves back into the game, but they didn't. Núñez has got that first goal, really, really important goal. Could have had more, the big chance afterwards. Header second half as well, but again, he's in those sort of good positions.
The header was a great chance.
It was a good chance, but a great ball from, I think it was Andy Robertson.
Yes.
But he'll take confidence from scoring a goal. That's what strikers thrive on.
He scored a goal, as did Mohamed Salah. Neil's touched on it, the importance of it. And it was, wasn't it? And it was so crucial at that point, because there was still that anxiety in the stadium. There hadn't been a second. Villa had always kind of looked a little bit dangerous with set pieces or on the counter. And you wanted him to be the man to have that opportunity. He finished it so, so very well.
The finish was just, it was so composed. It was cold, it was deadly. But I thought his overall performance today was superb. It wasn't just what he did with the ball. He looked dangerous. And he was up against a decent player today in Digne. He's a good player. He wanted to do well. He's obviously done his homework on Mo, because he was trying to get tight. But he just couldn't live with Mo today. It was a really solid performance. And I think you've got some stats there, Mel, that just blow everyone away, don't they?
I don't know if I remember it. Do you remember it or not?
I'll tell you what.
10 goals, 10 assists.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with Salah. He breaks records all the time, so it's stat after stat that he breaks. But you mentioned about Núñez maybe not being calm in his situation. Salah was calm when he needed to be. And he's covered a lot of ground to get in that position.
Yeah.
And Villa are appealing. They want a penalty down the other end. There's a bit of confusion. Is the ref going to stop the game? Is somebody in a better position?
Well, Villa made a big play for that. They were up around the referee after it. Obviously, with that, I think players now, because of VAR, do make an effort to try and influence, go and look at it and hope that something comes from it. But it never felt like it was a genuine show. Especially considering two of our boys have been wiped out today and nothing's been done at all with the two challenges.
They actually stopped the game in the second half. McGinn said to his teammate, don't take the throw in. And he crowded around the referee and told him to check for a penalty. That's where VAR has taken the game. And it was never a penalty. And the ref waved play on about 10 seconds later. But that's what players can do with VAR.
It's a dangerous thing to get Neil talking about VAR. That's what we're going to do. In a moment, I'm going to get your thoughts on a player at the other end of the field, because yet again, Kevin Kelleher has made a telling contribution to a Liverpool victory. Right just now, though, we're going to speak to someone else who was involved in that rear guard action. Ibu Konate is with Peter McDowell.
Ibu, congratulations. Really important 3 points. What a performance from the Reds tonight.
Yeah, really important. We knew this week was very important for us just before the international break. We got 3 points today again, and we are very happy. Now everyone go with national team, but we just wish everyone will come back fit, healthy, and yeah, thank you so far again today. Like I said, after the Champions League game, we need them, and today they was there, and thank you so much again.
Great goal, wasn't it, from Darwin? Brilliant pass from your centre-back partner as well to get it on the way, Virgil.
Yeah, I didn't expect he can run until there and give the pass to Mo. No, honestly, it was a very good goal from Virg, Mo and Darwin had a hand crazy. I'm very happy for him, and he have to keep going, keep pushing, and he will score more goals, I'm sure.
We've seen Liverpool at their best attacking-wise. Are there games like today where you know about the set-piece threat that Aston Villa pose, and sometimes you have to just enjoy defending?
Yeah, of course. This is my job. Then when I defend, of course, I enjoy when I win the challenge, and I think this is the best thing for a defender. And we have to say thank you as well to Quivi, because he make 2 great saves from set-pieces from Aston Villa. And yeah, great team performance today.
He's incredible, isn't he? The fact that you don't miss the best goalkeeper in the world at the moment is probably the biggest compliment you can pay to Quive.
Yeah, of course, for sure. He works so hard since I'm here in Liverpool. He's here before me, but since I'm here, he works so hard and so well. And when he had the opportunity to play, he just showed to the world how good he is. And yes, I'm very happy for him.
And what about you? 5 duels out of 5 you won today. 93% yeah. Pass completion. Okay. Is this the most comfortable? Is this the most happy you've been individually as a player at Liverpool?
Yes. I don't know. Maka. No. Honestly, I'm very happy. I just work so hard every day to be the best in my position in the world. And I just have to keep going, keep pushing. And this will come in one day for sure.
We all love the way you enjoy the celebrations at the end as well. The fans were singing Liverpool top of the league, singing the manager's name. Yeah. What kind of impact has he made on this place, the new manager, do you think?
You just have to watch our results. And we start the season very well. But I don't want to put too much pressure on him. I know he's a perfectionist, but now it's just the start of the season. We just have to work and to be better day after day. And at the end of the season, we will see the impact that he brings to us.
You're straight on an aeroplane now to play for France.
Yeah. Let me go, please. Let me go now.
Safe travels, mate. All the best.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, mate.
Loving life at the moment, understandably so, playing some fabulous football. And in some ways, Tomo, he's kind of starting to become the kind of cult figure within the team. You hear every time he makes interception, a block, a tackle, a header, Ibu rings around at the ground. But it's not just because they like him as a guy. They like what he's doing. His performances are getting better and better and better.
Well, he is getting better. I think he's absolutely immense. Peter's just hit the nail on the head there. He's won 5 duels out of 5. His pass completion is superb. I think if we look back earlier on in the season when Bournemouth tried to play on him, allow him to have the ball as if he's the weakest link in the team. And that day he got 3 assists. And it just shows you how far he's actually come. I thought he was immense again today. His performance in midweek against Boniface was magnificent. The way he handled them, the way he marshalled them, the way he anticipates and sniffs out danger now. He's so strong, he's colossus. And he's playing with, in my opinion, the best centre back in the world, and that's where he needs to aim. He needs to be that at that level.
We spent so long talking about Virgil van Dijk being a dominant centre half during his time at Liverpool. We're starting to see Ibu Konate be similarly dominant in games. You know, midweek's a perfect example. As the game went on, there was only one winner between him and the striker, and it's getting like that quite regularly.
Yeah, I think Tomo's just mentioned it there. He's playing alongside Virgil van Dijk, one of the best centre halves in world football for a period of time.
Yes.
What an education, you know, for a young player to think, I'm next to him, so that'll give him confidence and also reassurance to think, he's covering me anyway. And there was a situation in the first half. I don't know. It must have been 1-0. It might have been 0-0. And he just got across and dealt with the situation really early. Now, a couple of years ago, he might have been in trouble on the counter-attack, but he got there early and there was no problem. There was no counter-attack for Aston Villa. And that's where he's took his game to another level. He's recognising where the danger is before it even happens. And that's the level he's got himself to. So opposition, I think there was one instance the other night, I don't know if you saw it or not, against Leverkusen. Centre forward, proper threat. He didn't even bother running or challenging him because he knew he had no chance against Canate.
It's disheartening, isn't it?
Yeah. I think so he's getting that reputation, isn't he? He's getting that reputation where...
Virgil's got that reputation.
He's had that reputation. Mm. And Canate is now maybe getting to that stage where I can't outrun him. Mm. He's stronger than me. He reads the game early. How am I going to get the better of this lad? So that's credit to Canate, how he's taken his game. But the big thing for him is maintaining... playing week in, week out. Yeah. He took that little hand injury to Brighton and you're thinking, we might not see him again before the international break. Bang, he's out there against Leverkusen. And then he's out there again. Tomo's just said, colossal. Unbelievable. Top performance again.
It helps if you're a defender, if the guy playing behind you in goals is half decent. And the boys here are fortunate that they've got a queue of goalkeepers who are all not too shabby. Kevin Kelleher, week in, week out, Tomo, has a moment or a couple of moments in a match, whether Liverpool are dominating or not, that proves to be crucial, and that was the case again today. Those saves back-to-back from set pieces for Villa, pivotal.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned it, the timing in the game as well against Leverkusen, didn't have much to do. I think on the hour mark, he had to make two or three saves, and it was just, it was game-changing, really. And I think if you look back to the way Alisson performs and the way he has performed over the last 5-6 years, he's been critical in games and making these saves, world-class saves. You make them look ordinary and then they sort of go under the radar a little bit and then you go on and win the game and people forget about it. And that's what's happening now with Keller. He's raised his level again. And it's obviously day in, day out, he's working with a world-class goalkeeper and the standards that are set, you have to rise to that. And that's what he's doing. And I think Ali's going to have a bit of composition when he comes back.
But that's the funny thing, isn't it? Because it's always been a given, oh, Ali's back, he's straight back in. But with each game that goes, passes, and I'm still not arguing that Ali's number one, but that gap's closing. And Kelleher's, the gap in terms of performance levels, in terms of what they contribute, is getting smaller and smaller. Well, that's massive credit to Kevin Kelleher.
Yeah, I think probably one of the biggest compliments you could say to Kevin Kelleher is when a big save has had to be made, he's made it. And that's not easy for a second-choice goalkeeper to come in. And he's been that second-choice goalkeeper for a number of years. He's been patient. He's shown the right attitude. He's not kicked off thinking, I want to get a move. I want to be in the team. He's respected the fact that Alisson is the best in the world. And when he's come in, nobody in the crowd here is worried when he's between the sticks. And I don't think there's many clubs in world football that would feel the same way when the number two goalkeeper comes in. Everyone in this stadium felt comfortable with Kevin Kelleher between the sticks.
He's got a great attitude. And the way Ibbers just spoke about him there, he's highly respected within the squad, which is unusual for a number two. He's come in, he's performed really well. And he wants to be part of something that's successful. And he is successful in his own right. He's won a lot of trophies, you know, and it's not just he's just been a passenger in winning these trophies. He's actually played his part. So, you know, fair play to him. And he could have moved on in the summer. He could have, because he probably feels ready. And no one would begrudge him. Nobody here would begrudge him if he did move on to a Premier League team. And he could.
I think what surprised me was when they were talking about him moving on, it's they're talking of lesser clubs. Mm. I look at Kelleher and I think he's a top five goalkeeper in the Premier League. Mm. And Alisson's in the top five. I'm putting Kelleher in the top five of Premier League goalkeepers. I'd say Martinez was in there.
Yeah.
Maybe Edison. There's not too many more. There's not many more. That's how high Kevin Kelleher is. So he's nowhere near a bottom Premier League team if he ever does leave.
Well, that's it. If he does look to move on, and he's spoken about that in one of the previous international windows, about the fact that maybe is the time now for him to soon be playing more regularly, he's going to have a list of suitors that is getting more illustrious with every passing week because his level's outstanding. And when you look back on this season, Tommy, if Liverpool go on to win things, I think it's fair to say, when you look back at key moments and key individuals, he'll be right up there because there's been pivotal moments already in games. There's probably 3-4 games Liverpool probably wouldn't have won that they've won at this stage because of him.
I think it's quite unusual where you get a number two goalkeeper who could leave on his own terms, really, and go and, you know, choose the majority of clubs in which he was going to go to. And I think his performances have got him to that level now, where if he did leave, it would be on his own terms, and it would be on to whichever club that he wanted to go to. because there'd be a lot queuing up to take this guy.
And also, people don't say Alisson's injured when he's playing. That's where we're at with Quirin Keller. Another clean sheet. I think that's worth a mention. What's that, 6 in 11 Premier League games? I think if we are to go close to winning the Premier League title again, which is what we want, the defensive record is important. When we did win the league a few years ago, we had the best defensive record in the Premier League. So the clean sheets are going to be really important. And again, today, the lads will be absolutely made up. They've had to ride the luck at times because Villa missed a couple of chances. And Quirin's had to make two really important saves at key moments. It could have been 2 points dropped. It could have been a no clean sheet. But it's a clean sheet and 3 points. Delighted.
Just a quick break in today's show to let you know that LFC TV Go is now available as a smart TV app on both Amazon Fire TV and Android TV. You can watch all the latest on-demand and live content directly through your smart television. Whether it's full match replays, post-match analysis, exclusive interviews, or original documentaries that delve into the club's rich history and its achievements. Simply download from your TV's app store, log in with your registered user details, and get easy access to everything LFC. Anyhow, let's get back to the show. Welcome back to Anfield. Another big win for Liverpool tonight. A big win in the Premier League that sees them extend the lead at the top of the table once again. A big performance tonight again from Alexis McAllister. Let's hear from him now. He is with Pete.
Well, Maka, congratulations. 5 points clear at the top of the table. It feels really good, that win tonight.
Yeah, it sounds good. It feels good. As you said, I think it's going to be a long season. It's still a lot of games to play, so happy because we are in a good moment, and I think everyone can see that we have a very good team.
You've had a bit of everything this season, in all of the wins that you've had, the quality that we know that you have as a team, but today seemed to be about grit and determination.
Yeah, and I think the work that we did defensively was very, very good. If you look at, I think, the last minute, Lucho made and a sprint of 50 meters and defended that ball. And that's what we want from the team, try to defend, to be compact, and from there try to play the best football we can.
You had the one goal lead at half-time. It might have been more with the opportunities that you had. What did the boss say at the break about what you maybe needed to be better at second half?
No, we didn't speak much. It was more about certain positions and try to be patient and keep the ball. I think everyone can see that we dominated the game. Our press was very good. We were patient, so I think overall it was a very good performance from the team.
Mo finishes it off. That's 10 goals and 10 assists in 17 games. Now, that's the highest total that any player's got to in 40 years plus.
He's amazing. He's amazing, and we are so happy to have him with us. I think when you have Mo Salah, you know that he will deliver, he will get the numbers. So that's very, very important for us because as a team, you can defend well, but you need people who can score. So we are really happy with him.
And the midfield balance at the moment, Maka, from comparison to last season, it's evolutionised almost. You've got Ryan Gravenberch in there, who's taken to that position so well this year.
Yeah, Ryan is an amazing player. I think no one expected him to play that position as a six, but he's doing amazing, and so happy for him. When you have these players, it's so easy to play with them. So really happy to share with him, with Kurtz, with Dom. I could name a lot of people. So I always say when you have good players, then everything is easier.
And just finally, to go into this another international break, being top of the league, being top of the Champions League groups as well, is an incredible total so far.
Yeah, it's a really good moment. It's a really good moment, but you know how football works. One day you are here and the other day you are not there anymore. So you have to keep working, keep getting better, and that's what we will try.
Safe travels, mate.
Thank you.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, once again, welcome back. Pitch side here at Anfield. You see behind us the ground staff working hard to prepare the pitch here for the games that come after the international break. All manner of machinery gets wheeled out here. I know, but they're perfectionists. They want even better for next time. But you see all the stuff get wheeled out from our position here, right in the thick of the action we are. Just on what McAllister was talking about, on what they're doing very well this year, is they rotate positions in there quite at times. They alternate where they'll go. It's not set all the time, although by and large Gravenberch will sit, yep, and the other two will be, maybe one will be alongside him. Sometimes it's a one there, two, and there's not a set way of always being one way. It does vary.
It does vary, and the personnel varies as well, but you know, he's quite consistent to McAllister. Doesn't matter who he's playing with there. He doesn't encroach on the other person's space. There's always that rotation. He's always so clever in where he's positioning himself and the way he utilises the ball. I thought today he was quiet in the first half, but then I looked at the snippets, what he did in half-time. He actually made so many recoveries and so much closing down. It's actually, you just sort of get used to what he does now and take it for granted, that he just goes around the pitch mopping up and keeping it simple. He's actually a really superb footballer. And I think the compliments he's just paid there to Gravenberch in how well he's adopted to the number six, he's been absolutely sensational. He's done it really well. And I was listening to Jan Molby talk about the importance of the number six and the importance of the number six in the top teams. And I think if you look at City have missed Rodri this season. If you look at Real Madrid, they've missed Toni Kroos this season. Aston Villa have missed Douglas Luiz. Arsenal have missed Odegaard at times, and they missed Rice. So it's highlighted the stability that we've got in that position. And he might not play it perfectly the way Arne Slot wants him to play it, but he's playing it really well, because as soon as he gets on that half turn, he can drive into them spaces. He's bringing other people into play. McAllister's dropping deep into that role. It's impossible for midfielders to try to track them runners. And we were talking about Aston Villa being a bit of a weakness today in Onana, because he doesn't track back. He didn't know who to mark today. He didn't know which position to take up. He was so confused all over the pitch. The only time he knew where he was when they took him off and he was on the bench.
I think a big thing as well is that the understanding. Yeah. So Gravenberch comes into the six. McAllister's not played with Gravenberch there as a six, but because McAllister's such a clever player, he's already developed an understanding in the games Liverpool have had in the early stage of the season, where he needs to be. So you mentioned it there, he can sometimes go a little bit unnoticed, but his work is effective, whether it's tracking back to win the ball back, and then it's a five-yard pass, it's a simple pass. There we go, we can move the ball, and we can get the ball to somebody else higher up the pitch. Really, really effective. But for me, I think that's the balance is really good in midfield. There's good energy in there, there's good legs in there, winning the ball back. But the understanding is key for me, because these three haven't played last season together. Gravenberch wasn't a six. McAllister played a lot of games last season. I thought Curtis Jones was absolutely outstanding for the hour that he gave us. I thought
he's growing every game, isn't he?
He's outstanding. He's making runs into the box as a nine, running past the strikers. He's back in his own box as well.
There was one moment where he tracked back sensationally. It was just a lung-bursting run back. I'm thinking, where's that energy level
that
come
first
from?
Hour, I don't think anyone ran more on the football pitch than Curtis Jones.
No, he doesn't. And do you know what, right? I make comparison with, in terms of ability, right? I do make the comparison with Cole Palmer. I think technically they're at the same level. But I actually think Curtis Jones does more work off the ball. And it's quite tricky. I think over the years, the criticisms that Curtis has got is he's never been known as... people don't really know if he's a midfielder or if he's an attacker. But he's really adapted his game this year, and he's that hybrid in between. He can do both. He's absolutely sensational. A little bit more belief in himself now. He can go on to the next level, international and beyond.
In the England squad, of course, for these games coming up after being added late last time.
Can't wait for another international, can you?
That's it. What's your like? I suppose you dislike VAR more than international breaks. That's true, but yeah, not a fan of international.
Well, we're flying, aren't we? And what it does is, you know, the Nations League games. Who's going to watch them? I don't know, but not me. But it just disrupts a little bit of momentum. Absolutely flying, we're top of the table. City being beaten, we're on a really good run, and the lads will just want to play. So the worry now is, who's going to go away with the internationals? You know, Curtis Jones being called up. You think him?
But look at the risk. We mentioned, you know, Martin Odegaard got injured playing for Norway, didn't he? I think on an international break, and that's had a massive impact on Arsenal.
And by the way, we've not mentioned this yet. The biggest concern of today was Trent Alexander-Arnold's injury.
Good point.
That is the biggest concern from today. So as good as today's been, clean sheet, the 3 points, Salah absolutely brilliant. Again, Nunes getting himself a goal. How much of a concern is Trent? How much?
Well, he walked off the pitch.
Looked like a hammy.
Yeah, it did look like a A slight twinge, but he walked off the pitch. He didn't look like he was in too much
distress.
Still
a worry, though, isn't it?
Well, it's a... Not really.
We've got Real Madrid and Man City the other side of the international break.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why he thought, you know what, a little tweak, maybe a little bit of cramp, I'll come off, have a rest for 2 weeks.
But it also might be a not join it with England now and stay back. And that not could get be a blessing. England.
I think the difference is, I can understand that if he goes off in the 80th minute, he's gone off in the first half. He's gone off after 25 minutes of the game.
Stop ruining our good mood, you. We'll find out hopefully before the course of the end of the show. Understandably, it's a concern. A key player going off early in a match, always a worry. Just to return to the midfield balance, you know, Neil was talking about how well they've adapted to playing with each other. You know, you've played inside at times in your career in the centre of the park, Tom. How difficult is that to adapt to playing different players, to have that flexibility and fluidity of movement which we've got so quickly this season? Or is it a case of good players can make that happen?
No. You still have to have that understanding. And you still have to, you still have to bounce off one another. And I think if you look at their two midfield today, I think it was Tielemans and Onana. They were constantly on the same line. You will never see Gravenberch and McAllister on the same line, so they won't be bypassed by that one ball. And the same with Curtis Jones. You know, they're all very clever and all working well amongst each other. And if you see. I know you talked about Curtis before. He does a lot of running off the ball and a lot of tracking. But I saw him walking slowly into space today as well, which that is a skill in itself. You know, sometimes if you're chasing the ball constantly, it's always getting away from you. But sometimes the best thing to do is stand still on the pitch, and that's what he was doing. He occupied space and he occupied players, which allowed other players then to more space. I think he's quite smart. He's actually... I thought it was a really mature performance from Curtis today again.
Is that point you made about them not being on the same line, is that perhaps the most important thing about how this team plays, that they break the lines and have those kind of, sort of different positions so there is always an option on, and you say they won't get bypassed by that quick ball through?
Well, I think if you see the amount of one-touch passes they make round the corner, that it's sort of like, it shows you that they're never on the same line, and you can sort of bypass that press, and then the amount of times today you saw Curtis running with the ball, you saw Gravenberch running with the ball into that space and then passing the ball out wide. I think they've got a really great understanding. There's a good balance in that midfield. I never really played with a three-man midfield. I was always, playing in a 4-4-2. I'd probably struggle to find the space or understand where I needed to go in a three-man midfield. It's not easy. There's times when you can be pulled apart and you have to do a lot of running and a lot of tracking back. It's a lot of lung based and runs. Our lads do it. You know, there's no complaints with them. They just get on and do it. And, you know, McAllister came on before and he's talking about that 60-yard sprint for Luis Diaz to get back, you know, right at the end of the game. You know, that's a lad who scored a hat-trick. He could still be sat off having a cigar now, couldn't he?
That is where the bar is set for these boys, though, now. And... the levels are being rewarded because Liverpool are top of both the Premier League and Champions League table. We've had plenty of reactions so far to Liverpool's victory over Aston Villa. We've not heard from the manager as of yet. Let's put that right. Arne Slot is with Pete.
Well, boss, congratulations. It was a great 3 points and a really dominant performance.
Yeah, that had also to do with the playing style of Aston Villa, who gave us the ball a lot, didn't have the intention to step out or to press us really high. So in my opinion, the first half, we were still too impatient. We lost the ball too many times. The good thing was that our centre-backs and our defenders were incredible in stopping their counter-attacks. But second half, we were a bit more controlled. The good thing was, what I liked maybe most of today, was that our fans were not even bothered by that. They just kept on singing and they liked... I don't know if they liked what they see, but maybe they liked that we were 1-0 up. And we were top of the league, and they helped us in that period of time as well.
I think they loved what they saw tonight. As you kind of allude to there, though, 1-0 is a really dangerous scoreline, isn't it? And it seemed like we enjoyed defending at times tonight as well. We were so dominant in that position.
Yeah. We didn't have to defend a lot in terms of that they had ball possession and we were pushed back into our own 18-yard box, but they constantly threatened us with their set pieces. They were a very strong team when it comes to set pieces, and they were... every time waiting for us to lose the ball in midfield, and then with their fast attackers they have, it's always a threat. And
But we were patient and controlling the game. But yeah, it wasn't an easy one. That's what we all saw.
Just on that back line as well, we had it for Brighton, we had it for Leverkusen, had it again tonight. It was a Kevin Kelleher moment, wasn't there, or two in the matches where he just proved his absolute class?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, first of all, the whole team stops a lot of attacks from the other team. The work rate of the attackers and midfielders is incredible. Then if they are able to play through that, then they see two incredible centre-backs, which they have to pass. Is that the right word? Mm-hmm. We said to pass. And then if they pass them, if they pass both of these two things, then there's still a goalkeeper where they come up against. And again today, he had some one or two incredible saves.
And there's always a Mo Salah moment as well. 10 assists, 10 goals, and an incredible tally of games. There's just always a Mo Salah moment.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we'll give him now for 4 or 5 months, and you guys see him here for 6, 7 years in a row now, and it's special that he scores so many goals already after 10 games. What makes it even more impressive that he does this year after year after year after year, and I think not many players are able to do that, and that he's able to do this tells you a lot about the quality he has.
Well done tonight.
Thank you.
Another win for the manager, another win for Liverpool this season. At the top of the show, we showed you the top of the Premier League table. Let's just remind ourselves of it once again and just reinforce the position that we've got ourselves into. And what is still an early stage of the season, but nonetheless, 11 games played is a pretty decent sample size for all the teams involved. Neil, how significant do you think that gap that we've built up ahead of City, ahead of Arsenal is? And also, how big an opportunity is there in front of this Liverpool side?
I think Tom mentioned it a little bit earlier on. City don't look the City we've seen in recent seasons. Whether that's because of the Rodri injury, who's a massive player for them, and they may well be dropping more points than they have done in previous seasons. I mean, you look at the run-ins that they've had, and I still think they'll put a run together. They finished seasons very, very strongly. So if we can get a decent gap, it's only going to help us, and it'll put more pressure on them. That's what it'll do. I mean, you're only looking for two results at the weekend. You're looking at Arsenal and City, because they're the two sides that are going to push us for the title. We all hoped we could be in a title race, and we were last season, but till 8 games to go. The Palace defeat ultimately cost us, but City and Arsenal were relentless right the way to the end of the season. It was really, really tough. So it's a great start. Of course it is. We've got a good advantage. We've still got to play City twice. We've still got to play City twice. And you're thinking, if they were ahead of us by 5 points, more pressure on us, it then becomes, OK, a point might not be as bad a result as if they were 5 points ahead. So we're in a great position. There are so many games left to play. Injuries can play a part as well. At the moment, who've we got injured? We've got Alisson, we've got Jota injured, you've got Harvey Elliott injured. We actually saw Harvey before the game. He said he's not far away. So you're hopeful that he'll be back for sort of City games, Real Madrid. Some big games coming up around the corner.
4 straight defeats for Pep Guardiola for the first time in his managerial career, across his managerial
he's
career.
Been
that underlines.
Yeah, he's definitely been found out. Sack him.
Yeah. Pep who? Pep out, that's it. Imagine if they did bin him, that'd be sensational. But just in terms of, that underlines how unusual this run of results is for Manchester City under his guidance. But you go back to when we did win the league, City didn't deal well with the pressure. Because Liverpool started so well, they found it very difficult to claw it back, and eventually kind of fell back by a good way.
Yeah,
you just wonder if a similar thing could happen. If they found themselves 5, 6, 7, 8 points behind, and then it just, they can't get that momentum back up.
Yeah, I think it is. It will be really difficult for them, and I think that's what we've got to do now is I mean, you do take each game as it comes, but the next game we play is Southampton. You'd expect us to pick up the points there, and then the next game after that, I think the league is City. So, you know, that really is a big game. If we can, you know, if we can put up a strong performance in there, I think we build up seven points.
It's 5 points now, so if we beat them, it could be an eight point lead.
Have you got 7 points?
I don't know.
You're worried about that tractor knocking you over.
Yeah, I am actually.
Every ace having a look.
Just thinking about City. They're not in a good position at the minute. I think the court cases off the pitch have been a distraction for him. I think they've been a distraction for Pep Guardiola. I think
he's in his last year of his contract.
I think he's sick of answering the questions regarding the court cases. And yeah, so I think it's a time for... We're ahead of expectations because even though we played well last season, we performed really well up until, you know, I think it was April, and we sort of tapered off a bit. You know, we've just, the expectation was the new manager would come in, he'd take time to settle down, we'd probably, you know, maybe drop down the league a little bit and consolidate and then come back once the manager finds out what's going on. We're performing so well.
That is it from today's episode of The Reaction. We'll be back after the international break when Liverpool take on Southampton on the 24th of November. We'll have analysis and interviews from St. Mary's. Until then, though, if you haven't already, please give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure that you don't miss an episode when they drop.